This week I have, well, if you didn't know, October has been Pastor Appreciation Month, and I can tell you that Ryan and John, I've never been more just aware of how blessed we are to have you guys. Thank you, Ryan, for all that you do. John, thank you and your family for all your sacrifices. And that's why I'm here today, is to give John a little break. It is every time that I have the opportunity to preach, I become aware of the burden that he carries on a weekly basis, and it is no small thing, I can guarantee you. This week, I came into the office, and there were 8 messages on the answer machine, which is highly unusual. Nobody ever calls North Hills, by the way. If you want to, 644-5444. Okay? Nobody ever calls North Hills. There were 8 messages on the thing. One of them happened to be for John, and I called him and told him that. He's like, well, who were the other 7? I was like, Wendy Vitter. There were people I don't know. I didn't know people. Some of these names were running for anything. I didn't vote for them. I didn't know. But there were 7 political messages on the phone asking for your vote. Asking, I was like, sorry, brother, I didn't get this until after the election. So, anyway, this message, this passage that we have this morning is timely. It's, speaking of time, did anybody not set their clock backwards? Anybody going to admit to that? No. Well, you know, anyway. Well, I heard that, I read a thing this week that 2/3 of America believe that the daylight savings time is a waste. Like, it's just a waste of energy, it's a waste of time to work on it. 2/3 of America believe that. I also heard that it causes 10% increase in heart conditions because of the time change and the effects on our body. But you can rest assured that today, the day after we fall back and we gain an hour, it is 8% better traffic on the roads. There is 8% less traffic conditions. So anyway, so today you can rest assured that you will be safer on the roads, but you will not be safe in here this morning. And this message that I have this morning is one that is difficult even for me because I struggle. I have issues here. And so know that when I speak this morning, all week I thought of myself. I thought of the things that I have thought, the things that I have done, the things that I have said, and the actions in which I have carried on me. And so I come to this text not lightly at all, and it is very personal to me. In the year 37 A.D., a little boy named Lucius was born to his mother, Agrippina the Younger. Agrippina would eventually marry Emperor Claudius of Rome. He was the emperor of Rome at the time. And they would change Lucius's name to Nero Claudius. All in an effort by his mother to eventually propel him to be the emperor of Rome. Because Claudius had a son, an older son, a biological son. But Claudius would adopt Nero. And eventually Agrippina would have Claudius poisoned, and Nero became emperor. At the age of 17, he became emperor, and he would reign for about 14 years until he was 31, and at which time he committed suicide. Nero, his reign started out kind of well. He was 17, and he listened to his advisors, and he had some actually good advisors. But it didn't take but a few short months into it, and he became very paranoid. And after his paranoia set in, just craziness started happening. And in the year, I don't want to get this wrong, because you'll probably go fact check me, and nobody's going to do that, huh? In 55, he had his stepbrother killed, his older stepbrother. He had him killed, and in 59, he had his mother executed. And in 62, he had one of his closest advisors made him commit suicide, and he had his first wife killed. And then, getting to our passage this morning, we know from biblical evidence and extra-biblical historical documents that Peter arrived in Rome at around 63 A.D. So right after Nero had, in the years following Nero coming into power and having known Nero to be crazy, here comes Peter into Rome. And if we get to the last verse, and excuse me, John, for stepping on your toes, because you'll probably preach this. And anyway, at the very end of the book, in verse 13 of chapter 5, he says, "She who is in Babylon, chosen together with you, sends you greetings." Peter wrote this book while he was in Rome. He's in the middle of Rome, and he writes this book. And in fact, we believe Peter to never have left Rome, because in 64 A.D., on July the 19th, a fire hit Rome. A fire started in the southern half, and it went on for 7 days and destroyed a whole lot of the city. And they just about had it put out, and it flared up again in the north side of the city, and it went on for 3 more days. And at the end of all of it, well over half of the city of Rome was destroyed, and then about 10 of the 14 wards of Rome were completely destroyed, and there was this chaos in Rome. And people started grumbling, and they said Nero did it. Nero had to have started this fire because he wanted to rebuild the city of Rome. He had said publicly he wanted to rebuild in a grander fashion. And so people thought that Nero was responsible for setting this blaze to Rome. And, well, Nero, being the crazy leader that he was, said, "Look, I got to find a scapegoat." And who else but the Christians? And so we really don't know if Nero set the fire or not. It could have just been an accident that set the fire. But the fact is, Nero blamed the Christians for this fire. And the things that would follow were just crazy, just horrific. Christians were executed. They were just sacrificed. They were sewn up in wild animals and fed to dogs. They were dipped in oil and used as lamps in Nero's garden. Just craziness. And eventually, Peter was crucified, and tradition would tell us that he was crucified upside down because he didn't want to be crucified like his Savior. And so Peter is in the middle of this, and we believe that he wrote this book before the fire happened. And so he was there, though, to see Nero do this stuff. Let's, if you have your Bible open, turn back to Matthew. Matthew chapter 17. Skipping back in Peter's life 30-something years, when Jesus was walking with them and teaching them, we get to verse 24 of chapter 17 of Matthew, and we're talking about money. And it says, "When they came to Capernaum, those who collected the 2 drachma tax," which is a temple tax, "came to Peter and said, 'Does your teacher not pay the 2 drachma tax?' He said, 'Yes.' And when he came into the house," Peter actually didn't know if Jesus would pay the temple tax. He had not paid the temple tax up to this point. He didn't want to step on any toes, so he said, "Yes." And so when he came into the house, Jesus spoke to him first, saying, "What do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth collect customs or poll tax? From their sons or from strangers? And when Peter said, from strangers, Jesus said to him, then the sons are exempt. However, so that we do not offend them, go to the sea and throw in a hook and take the first fish that comes up, and when you open its mouth, you will find a shekel. Take that and give to them for you and for me. So Jesus do a little teaching to Peter. He's like, look, do kings, do emperors, do rulers, do they take taxes from their own kids? Or they take taxes from people outside of his house? And then Peter's like, well, they take taxes from outside the house. So that'd be crazy that they would tax their own kid. And so Jesus pointing out that his own father had not taxed him, but because he did not want to offend them, we are going to pay that tax. So this had happened years before Peter wrote this book. And Peter used his past experience and his present knowledge of the political scheme. Peter had never known a government that was pro the children of God. Okay? Peter knew Pontius Pilate. He saw Pontius Pilate wash his hands of his Savior's death. He knew of Herod Antipas, who beheaded John the Baptist. He knew of Herod the Great, who killed babies in Bethlehem. He knew of all of this happening, and he still wrote these verses that we're about to read again. He knew of everything that Nero was doing, and he could see. In fact, if we jumped over to chapter 4 of Peter in verse 12, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. Look, Peter was just looking ahead into time at this point. And just, he knew that something was going to happen, and he could tell that it was coming to a head and that things were not going to be good for Christians, and yet he still wrote these words. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. For such is the will of God, that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Act as free men, and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bond slaves of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. When we started Peter, John asked Ron and I to read through the whole book, and we discussed this. And after we read through the whole book, John, I don't even know the question he asked, but it was on an email, and I responded, I think we could sum up the entire book of Peter in one verse. Verse 17 of this, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. And that really is, I mean, if we took that to heart, then our lives would be crazy different. If we honored all, if we respected all, and if we loved every brother and sister, if we feared God, even the king who we may not agree with, or the king that may not honor you. So, the first thing this morning, look, we hadn't even got to the outline yet. Hey, the preacher forgot his watch this morning, so y'all are in for it. Not really. We must submit to and honor those in authority over us. It is not, these words are not here as mere suggestion. It is not here so that we can say, I think Peter was just talking out of his head. I I just think that he doesn't know us. He doesn't know America. He can't know. Like, he knew worse. And if you think that America is worse, look at the world around us. Look at Syria. Look at Rwanda. Look at much of that 1040 window across Africa and the Middle East. If you want to see a world that hates Christians. And yet Peter wrote these words knowing full well. We are to submit. So what's that look like? John told us last week. I think maybe I wasn't in here last week. I don't know what John told you. He probably told you. He should have told you. The book of Peter is turning practical. It is about to be very point. Look, we need to do this. We need to do this. And stuff that we can apply to our life is not going to be, we're not going to be scrounging over scripture to find deep theological truth. We're going to be in our lives. This is going to be in us. And this is going to be pointing directly to us on how we shall now live. And it's just an awesome time. We have elections coming up, and you never know who's going to be in political office at the end of these elections. And we will pray, and we will, I hope you vote. But know at the end of the day that it is God who is in authority. So how should we honor and submit to leaders whom we may not agree with? In preparing for this lesson, I listened to two things by John Piper. One of them was a Bible study. It was not a sermon. It was just a Bible study that he did on Peter, the whole book. And one of them was a sermon in which he preached this particular passage, this group of scripture, just days before Bill Clinton was to be enacted into office, to be sworn into office. And in his sermon, he did not agree with a particular stance of Bill Clinton. He just didn't. He believed that abortion was wrong and that the killing of babies was wrong. And I sat there and I was like, well, I agree with you, John. What's that got to do with this? He's like, Bill Clinton wanted to enact and ultimately did. I mean, abortion is legal in our country. And we stand, as some of us, stand opposed to that. And so how can me, James Douglas, how can I submit to and honor somebody that I believe holds to something that is horrendous, that I believe that is an atrocity before our God? How can I stand up and say, I honor you, I submit to you, but I do not agree with you in the least bit? And this is what I have struggled with all week. Welcome to my world. How can I honor somebody that ultimately God has allowed to be an authority over me, even though that person may not honor God, and he definitely may not honor me? It is with our actions, our attitudes, our voice. There is all kinds of ways for us to submit. All of us submit to authority, right? I mean, at least sometimes. I mean, we could go a show of hands. How many of you went over the speed limit this morning? How many of you? Oh, yep. We have some truthful people in here. There should be more. I did not go over the speed limit this morning. I did not drive. That may have been on purpose. I don't. So we submit to authority on a regular basis. I mean, we live within the confines of our society. We don't go over the speed limit sometimes. We pay our taxes. At least I pay my taxes. You pay your taxes. I mean, we vote. We do business legally. We respect police officers. We, whatever, you fill in the blank on how we are conformed by the powers that be in our society. Most of us, many of us, don't have direct contact with those authorities. Now, if you don't obey by the speed limit, you will have direct contact with those authorities. I had never had a ticket in my life until I moved back to West Monroe 5 or 6 years ago, however long it was. I got three within about 3 months. So here's the thing. If you don't stop at a stop sign, you will get a ticket. If you go significantly over the speed limit, you will get a ticket. If you do not wear a seatbelt and a cop sees you, you may get a you may get a ticket. And you may have issues if you get three of those really close together. Okay? You didn't? Yes, mainly with my wife. I came, the last one, I came home crying. I went out to get ice cream. I came back. It's in the middle of the night, and I just didn't stop the stop sign. Okay, so there it was, number three. I cried. Don't judge me. So we have an understanding of what it looks like to submit to authority when we are engaged with that authority. When we are faced with that authority, if we stand before a judge in a courtroom, we understand how to act. We understand that there is a respect level there. Like, this person definitely has authority over me, and they can do something to me. And most of the time, most of us will submit to that. But in my life, in me, the problem is not when I am in direct contact with said authority. It is when said authority is off over there in the White House or in the Capitol building or wherever, and I have issues. When have the freedom to speak my mind or have my desires heard on an issue. I am not up here. We are not. Let me clarify. We're not talking just politics here. This is not a political message. Although just in our particular moment in time, this has very easy application into our politics in the U.S. But ultimately, this is a God thing. Let me tell you, what is our government, what are those authorities here for? Well, Scripture tells us. I'm glad you asked. They are here sent by Him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. And let me tell you, we want this in our government. We want evildoers to be punished. If you go out and commit murder, we want that to be punished so that it is not rampant amongst us. If we want people that drive crazy to be off the streets, we want their attitudes to change so that I don't have to drive defensively all the time and worry about crazies coming around me. Last night, I don't know, did y'all meet any crazies last night? I did. Calhoun, there was like a horde of four-wheeler riders on the road. I was like, that's not legal, except on Halloween, evidently. So we want this. We want the authorities to be to have authority to curb what we feel is evil. I mean, so if you listen to political jawing, if you just turn on the TV, you would think that you and I live in the craziest, most horrific place in the world to live. If you listen to politics, I mean, it's always, well, everything's wrong. We got to do everything. That's just wrong. I don't know. I think that for the most part, we are curbing evildoers. I mean, I guess there are things that need to be changed, obviously, with our nation. Obviously, there are things that are not God-honoring. However, we are called to still, in those moments, submit. And so they are here to punish wrong, and we want that. So what's the deal? I'm going to give you three realizations that are underneath. We are to submit and to honor to those that are in authority over us, and what's going to happen. Actually, when you are submitting and honoring, you are actually submitting and honoring God when you submit and honor to those in authority. So when you follow the speed limit, you are honoring God. If you're a child of the King, the King. If you are a believer, when you submit to authority, you should be giving praise and honor and glory to the one that has put the authority over you. We are citizens of heaven, and as such, we submit not because they have power over us, but because God demands it. They actually, if we came down to it, if we had a royal person in charge of the U.S., we had a king, we had a queen, and we went before said queen, and she wanted us to bow down before her or before the king, we could say, I will bow down before you, but not because of who you are, but because of who my God is. My God has allowed you to be in power and authority over me, and as such, I will point to Him as the one who has authority over me, and I bow because of His authority, not yours. And in no way should we ever be able to disrespect said authority, because let's read. If you are a person that underlines and highlights, at some point I use marker that is evidently disappearing ink on my Bible, and it's like half gone. Use good stuff whenever you do this. But there is four words in verse 13 that need to be marked up in your Bible. It says, for the Lord's sake. That is what all of this hinges on. Look, we're not just supposed to... Okay, so let me finish. See, you're taking notes. We submit to and honor those in authority over us, but only for God is number two. We're going to finish that sentence. But only for God. The reason why we submit and honor is for the Lord's sake. It is for God Almighty. If we only submit to authority because we don't like the consequences of not submitting, if we only submit to the speed limit because we don't want a speeding ticket, then we're not giving God all the honor and glory for that. If we only submit to the laws of the land because of what could be, what could happen to us, then we are not giving God all the honor and glory for that. We should, in our lives, be doing everything in our lives for the Lord's sake. Peter knows that Nero is crazy, and if he, Nero, was willing to kill his own mother and his own wife and his closest friend, then those that he hates, it was known he hated Christians. How much more was he going to do to them? And he says, look, for the Lord's sake, we will submit and honor. In the face of horrific acts, we will submit and honor for the sake of the Lord. Leading to the next thing, I had a conversation with Justin Underwood Wednesday. And I just mentioned to him that I was going to preach. He's like, got something for you. And I don't know how I didn't know this, but him and Rocky wrote a book, or are writing a book in the middle of it. Been a decade now. But it's called Bound by Freedom. And if you look on your little handy-dandy handout, the title of today's sermon is Bound by Freedom. Justin didn't have to write it on his thing today. And he told me that this particular passage was a big part of that title. And here is why. We are bound by freedom to God because we are bond slaves. There in verse 16. Act as free men and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bond slaves to God. We are enslaved to God. And when such happens, it's crazy. I mean, in one sense, we are slaves. In the other sense, God calls us sons and daughters. We are adopted into the family, and not as second-rate citizens, but as full-blown heirs to the throne. We are underneath everything, and we are His child. We are His everything. We have access to the throne. Those people that we read about in Matthew that Jesus said didn't have to pay taxes, we be that people. That's us. We are sons. We are daughters of the Most High. And as such, we are free from all of this earth. We do not have to be under the authority of what is happening here, but we are because our God. We are not bound because of any person. We are bound to this earth because of who God is and what He is asking of us. Not so that you and I could live a better life, because it's easier, right? If you and I just obey all the laws. I mean, it is. I mean, we don't have to worry about people coming and knocking on our door and asking for stuff. I mean, we don't have to worry about the police kicking our door down. If we obey, then life is easier. But the truth is, we don't have to. We could. be free. I mean, we could go and do. But God. And I think there are some people here this morning that need to hear your sin, my sin. None of it is out of the bounds of the freedom of God. None of it is too big or too small. None of it is too crazy. I could go out and do the craziest, stupidest thing ever, and my God would forgive it. Doesn't matter what I've done in my past, my God would forgive it. Doesn't matter what our sin is presently. And yes, some of you are probably sinning now. You're probably not respecting authority in your head. God will forgive anything that we do from here to eternity if we are His child. God loved us so much that He sent His Son Jesus. Jesus came and He died, He lived, and He taught Peter. And ultimately, because what He taught Peter, we have in 1 Peter and is being taught to us today to honor and respect all. Jesus came and He taught and He ultimately was crucified. And because of that, has paid the price for sin. For those that would love Him. If those that would come to know Him as Lord and Savior, Jesus has thrown that sin away and has covered it with His blood. Doesn't matter if it was crazy. Doesn't matter if it was egotistical. Doesn't matter if it was something as simple as breaking the speed limit or as bigger as not paying your taxes. Or worse. Our God is big enough. He is strong enough. He is over every authority in this world, including you and I. When we are children of the King, we should act like children of the King. God has not called us to be saved and then do what we want and say what we want. He's not calling us to a political view. He's not calling us to do what we desire, even though we are free to do so. We can't go through life being ticked off at politicians and other leaders because we don't think like they do, because they don't say what we want them to say. That does not bring honor and glory to God. This isn't about you or about me. This is about God Almighty. This isn't about what we desire to happen in the U.S. or in this world. This is about God's power being known to our nation and to all the nations around this globe. Okay, somebody might need to check on Melinda. This passage isn't about having an easier life or having a better life. This passage is about making God known, even in the middle of things that we don't agree with. you and I could look at every authority that has been placed over us and we could have issue with them. Because as people, we don't want authority over us. We don't want somebody else telling us what to do. And we could nitpick and gripe and complain from now to the day we leave this earth about what is happening. But I will ask you, please. Peter is asking you, please. Our God Almighty is asking you, please. This is not about you. It is about bringing honor and glory to God. It's not about your desires. It's not about what you want. It's not about what we think should happen. But it is about God working in our midst in a way that even in the middle of disagreement, we can bring honor and glory to God Almighty. We are bound by freedom to God so that we can honor all people, love our brothers and sisters, and fear God. A few weeks ago, we talked about the fear of God, so we will not sit there this morning. But that verse, verse 17, another one that you could highlight, that you could underscore, because it could be a life verse. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, and even honor the king. And he wraps up that honor the king. The king is in all people, right? I mean, the king is a person, so all people would include the king. But Peter just wanted to make sure that you understood that, look, we're supposed to honor all people. We're supposed to love the brothers and sisters. We're supposed to fear God. And look, included in that all people is that crazy dude Nero. Included in that all people is any political figure that you want to stick a name in there. Included in there is a police officer. Including in that, maybe a pastor. Maybe anyone that is in any sort of authority that you and I are under. Honor all people. Verse 13 told us to submit. Submit and honor to all people. Love each other. And fear God. I don't know about you, but it sounds easy. This week hadn't been easy for me, I can guarantee it. Because I got issues with some people. I mean, just be honest. I'm throwing out there, I got issues with some things that are considered right in our country. I got problems with them. But I'm called to honor. I'm called to point people to Christ. I'm called to be under the authority of my God in such a way that people see Him when I submit to the authorities of this land. When regnets come to TP Outdoors and start griping about some political thing, they don't need James Douglas to chime in with them. They need James Douglas to point them to God. Honor all. Love the brotherhood. Peter is writing this passage in the middle of chaos. Rome, while not yet burned, was just a political chaos because of Nero. And the church at Rome was no different. we at North Hills may not be in total chaos, but there is times that we need to be reminded to love each other. You're my brother. You're my sister. And there may come a day where there is chaos amongst us. And I hope that you and I can go back to this passage and we can sit and remember that we're supposed to honor each other. We're supposed to submit. But we are also supposed to love each other. Not because it will make life easier in our congregation, but because we are fearing God. And that is what we are called to do. So, Peter, practically, is calling us to, you know, honor some people that we feel may not be honorable. But I think more than that, and what I want to make clear this morning, is Peter is continually pointing everybody to Christ. He is pointing us to the point that, yes, in our political world, we should be honoring God. We should be submitting. Yes, in our relationships with each other, we should be honoring each other and loving each other. But for the sake of the Lord, and this morning I would be remiss if I did not make sure it was very clear that Jesus is here. If it was not for Jesus, we would not have this passage. We would not be being told to submit to our leaders. If it was not for Jesus, there would be no brotherhood. There is no telling where you and I would be right now if there was no Jesus. Jesus is who we are pointing our people to when we submit. He is who we are pointing people to when we do business. He is when we do church, when we do Halloween, fall festivals. Whatever we do, we should be pointing people to God Almighty. And this morning, I pray that you know Him as your Lord and Savior. That you are in the brotherhood. Let's pray.